Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Eddie Mair.
Matt Hancock hosts a Downing Street COVID briefing at 5. We suspect the focus will be vaccinations, but he'll also be joined by Jonathan Van Tam and Susan Hopkins from Public Health England. So, lots to talk about. After that, the LBC Business News, plus Peter Hunt on Prince Harry and COVID 1 year ago. It's Friday. It's coming up to 4:15. It's time for Simon Marks's American Week.
Eddie, I have a confession to make. This American week has been an especially hard one to bear, particularly given the wave of optimism that appears to have swept across the UK about the possibly imminent return of some semblance of normal life there. Don't get me wrong, thrilled as I am that you're all about to get back to the pub, the football, the theatre, dinner with friends, my favourite Chinese in Swiss Cottage. On this side of the Atlantic, we might as well be living in a different galaxy, because none of those goals currently seems even vaguely attainable here, especially the Chinese in Swiss Cottage. It's not just that they're out of reach. They're not even on the cards. This was the week when, on a variety of fronts, the country started dealing with the consequences of everything that we've witnessed, and none more so than America's COVID-19 catastrophe. At sunset on Monday, a Marine Corps band marked the 500,000th American death from the virus. Amazing Grace accompanied the sight of hundreds of candles illuminating the building and its grounds. President Biden, the First Lady, Vice President Harris and her husband led the nation in a moment of silence and prayer. The bells of Washington's National Cathedral tolled 500 times, one chime for every 1,000 deaths. More lives lost than America experienced in two world wars and Vietnam combined. And while in terms of population, the death toll in Britain, Belgium and Italy has been higher, 500,000 deaths is a huge blow to the psyche of a country whose former president claimed the final death toll might, just might, reach 75,000.
For those who've lost loved ones, this is what I know. They're never truly gone. They'll always be part of your heart. I know this as well, and it seems unbelievable, but I promise you, the day will come when the memory of the loved one you lost will bring a smile to your lips before a tear to your eye. It will come, I promise you. My prayer for you, though, is that they will come sooner rather than later. And that's when you know you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
While the president was looking forward there to a moment when the pain of grief will ebb, his top medical advisor spent the week effectively saying that America has no one to blame but herself. Dr. Anthony Fauci was, like so many people here, in reflective mood, and looking back on the events of the past year, withering in his analysis about the opportunities to confront the pandemic that America squandered.
At the end of the day, everybody got hit really badly. That does not explain how a rich and sophisticated country be the hardest hit country in the world. That, I believe, should not have happened.
So why did it happen? He blamed President Trump, of course, for his complete failure to promote face masks and public health guidelines, even at a very basic level, to take the threat of the pandemic seriously. But more broadly than that, he painted a picture of an America that just couldn't help herself.
If ever you did not want to have an outbreak of any sort in a certain condition, it would be in a condition where there was intense divisiveness in society, which is what we have. There's red states and blue states that, you know, are almost hostile to each other in some respects because of political differences. I think that's the worst possible ingredients to be able to address an outbreak of an infection that even under the best of circumstances would be a formidable challenge.
Now, of course, none of those circumstances has changed in the past year. And as the country attempts to get its population vaccinated against COVID-19, there is evidence to show it's making many of the same mistakes all over again. Let's talk for a moment about the vaccine rollout in Washington itself. I mean, it is, after all, the nation's capital. The latest data that we've seen shows that for the week ending last Friday, the authorities in this city only managed to jab 974 out of Washington's 700,000 residents. Now, admittedly, it was a bad week, but at that rate, it would take a year and a half to vaccinate this city's entire population if this city's entire population agrees to get the jab.
That is it?
That it? Yes.
Thank you. You are vaccinated?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That is the mayor of Washington, Muriel Bowser, getting her first jab a few days ago, shortly after telling reporters that she hates needles and that getting vaccinated in front of the press was causing her anxiety. Not exactly the note struck by the Queen in that video chat with NHS officials yesterday. While our sympathies are with the mayor, whose own sister died of COVID-19 this week, the entire process of getting vaccinated here is just bizarre. And you'll need to bear with me as I go through all of this. Every day at 9 a.m., about 4,000 appointments suddenly become available on the Washington, D.C. government website. Remember, there's no NHS here, so no nationally coordinated vaccination program. You don't get a text when it's your turn. All the latest appointments become available at 9 a.m. sharp. The website is immediately overwhelmed. Yesterday and today, not for the first time, it collapsed entirely. But if you're a frontline worker, over 65, or have a serious medical condition and you're really, really lucky, you score an appointment. It's easier getting Elton John tickets. And speaking of Elton...
This is the bit where you're going to have the vaccine now, Elton, so right. Just kind of pretend that you're having the vaccine from a nurse.
Oh!
What was that, Elton?
That was me, acting.
Okay. Let's cut there.
While Elton and Michael Caine are busy telling everyone in the UK that vaccines are safe and everybody should get them, there is no sign of any similar public education campaign taking place here. Anyway, if you're really lucky, you've got your vaccine appointment from the website, but the chances are it's nowhere near your home. There's not enough vaccine available in the first place here, but the vaccines that do exist are being made equally available in all parts of Washington. But not all communities in Washington want to get jabbed. A YouGov survey this week revealed massive disparities in vaccine take-up across the country, as polling analyst Mike Hambrick explained.
Those who are more likely tend to be Democrats, those who characterize themselves as liberal, whites, those who have higher education, higher incomes, and tend to reside in the Northeast and West. Among those indicating they're more unlikely to get vaccinated are Republicans and also including some who consider themselves to be rather conservative, as well as blacks and those with less education and those with lower incomes.
So this weekend, I'll be driving a loved one to the other side of the city where very few people want to get jabbed. It's like living in the aforementioned Swiss cottage and being told you've got to go to Camberwell to get inoculated. And we won't be going to any of the shuttered schools, town halls, community centres, libraries, sports arenas or churches that we will drive past en route to getting the vaccine. No, we'll be going to the local equivalent of Sainsbury's, because this is a public-private partnership, so supermarkets and pharmacies have been enjoined to become vaccination centres alongside some clinics and nursing homes. Literally up the road from us, there's a vaccine centre in our local supermarket. Six chairs, none of them especially socially distanced from one another, jammed between the Genoa salami and the suppositories. And the poor saps sitting there waiting to get vaccinated are all wondering whether the shoppers around them, scrambling for the cold cuts and the mouthwash, might themselves actually be carrying COVID-19. It is simply crazy.
The question I'm asked most often is, when will things get back to normal? My answer is always honest and straightforward. I can't give you a date.
No kidding. President Biden speaking there at an event marking the completion of the 50 millionth vaccination in the United States.
While things are improving, and we're going from a mess we inherited to moving in the right direction at a significant speed, this is not a victory lap. Everything is not fixed. We have a long way to go.
No talk here, then, of an irreversible relaxation to COVID-19 lockdown measures. Though, to be fair, that's because in many parts of the country, meaningful lockdown measures were never implemented in the first place. Yesterday was, after all, the first anniversary of this very special gem. President Trump's then chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, telling CNBC 1 year ago that America had nothing to fear from the coronavirus.
We have contained this. We have contained this, I won't say airtight, but pretty close to airtight. We've done a good job in the United States.
Consequences for him, by the way, he's getting his own program on the Fox Business Network.
Throw it up, throw it up!
Awesome.
That is so cool.
In an Orlando hotel this morning, a golden statue of Mr. Kudlow's former boss, Donald Trump, was being wheeled into a ballroom. The Hyatt Regency is hosting the annual conference of CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. And to the glee of the early delegates gathering, without in most cases face masks, the former president is top of the bill this weekend. He'll speak on Sunday, offering a critique of the Biden administration at the end of its first month, and laying claim to the leadership of the Republican Party all the way through until the next presidential election. Donald Trump's right-hand man, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows.
We will see the start of planning for the next administration, and I can tell you the people that are at the top of that list, all of them have Trump as their last name.
He spoke on Fox News, indicating the possibility that an entire Trump dynasty lies ahead for the Republican Party, or whatever left of it. This was the week when even moderate Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah had to concede that the former president remains the dominant figure in the earliest imaginable stages of the next presidential race.
I look at the polls, and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there among Republicans, he wins in a landslide.
If Donald Trump runs, he'll win the nomination, said Senator Romney. And if Donald Trump wins the nomination, the Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, says he'll line up right behind him.
If the president was the party's nominee, would you support him?
The nominee of the party? Absolutely.
Amazing. Lest there is any confusion, that is the same Mitch McConnell you heard last week saying that Donald Trump had committed disgraceful dereliction of duty and should probably face criminal charges for inciting January's deadly riot on Capitol Hill. There are, by the way, still fears of fresh violence to come here. Chilling testimony yesterday in Congress by acting Capitol Hill Police Chief Yogananda Pittman warning of a fresh plot to launch an attack on Congress.
We know that members of the militia groups that were present on January 6th have stated their desires that they want to blow up the Capitol and kill as many members as possible with a direct nexus to the State of the Union.
The date for that speech by President Biden to Congress has not yet been set, but whenever it happens, security levels will be out of this world. Amid the abiding sense this week that the country has completely lost its way, it's been tempting to spend a little time on another planet, and we've been aided in that endeavour by those amazing rocket scientists at NASA. For the first time ever, we've actually been able to hear the sound of Mars, recorded by the Perseverance rover that landed on the red planet last week. Now, I know it's not much, a bit of wind from 300 million miles away, but it is a reminder that this country can still achieve so much, but only when it sets its mind to doing it. And as I drive across town this weekend, heading for that supermarket date with a booster shot, while you're all planning your summer get-togethers, I think, Eddie, I'll put it on the car radio, turn up the sound, and rip off the knob.
Quite. Simon marks this American Week. Simon, before you go, the listener and I are very interested in exactly which Chinese restaurants, which I have done a bit of Googling. Is it the Green Cottage in Finchley Road?
It is. That is exactly the one. But exactly. Greatly missed.
It's got four stars out of 40 reviews. People like it. What's your favourite on the menu?
I'm a huge fan of the sweet and sour prawns and the roasted duck breast off the bone.
One day you can savour it again. Simon, thank you. Simon Marks' American Week back next Friday at 4:45.